glad you're here as we continue on our series. And the Lord is at work here. So clearly, there's some things that we are praying for behind the scenes that I'll be able to let you know about in a few weeks. I'll just tell you in advance, they are incredibly exciting. So I look forward to a few more weeks from now and get to talk about some of those things. On a different note, have you ever had to have an awkward conversation with someone? Sorry, James, is she talking about you again? I can tell she's said that before, right? It happens sometimes where you're the one who has to have a conversation with someone where you got to confront an issue. You've got to have an awkward conversation with someone. And I don't know about you, but I just get a little tense in those moments. Anybody with me on that deal? Some people find like real joy in that kind of thing. Yeah, let's do this, you know? You know, I approach a little bit slower. I want to think through it. I want to, you know, make sure I've prayed and understood God's heart in the matter and how to handle the situation. But sometimes those moments happen where you have to have an awkward conversation with someone where you're uncertain of how the response is going to go and what's going to happen next. And sometimes it's turned the other way and that other person is having an awkward conversation with you. Whew, that happens too sometimes where someone comes to you and says, hey, can we talk? Man, right away, I'm like, you know, I don't know about, how about it when someone comes to you and says, hey, later this week or later today sometime, can we talk? Man, for me, that's just like, oh, let's just do it right now. Just do it, just say it right now. Let's just do it. I don't want to have to think about it for the next 6 hours kind of deal, right? Get all worried about it. But sometimes that happens because sometimes that's the way only change can come. Is when an awkward conversation is had, when you have to talk about something. Even if you do it with all the grace and love that there is, you still have to have the conversation. And sometimes that conversation is not another person with us. Sometimes it's the Lord who has a conversation with us. Amen? Where he has to have an awkward conversation with us to tell us some things. Not because he's cruel, not because he's mean, not because he wants to hurt us, but because he wants us to know him and his glory and his ways. Now, again, I think we all know the tendency when someone has an awkward conversation with us, there's that tendency in us to want to try to dismiss it, deny it, to try to justify ourselves, to try to point the finger back at the other person and say, oh yeah, well, who do you think you are? You're not so smart or great either yourself, you know. You know what I'm talking about? Those are things that we do. And sometimes that even happens with the Lord. He points out something to us and we start down the path of justifying ourselves, blaming, pointing a finger back. But the right response is, you're right, Lord. You're right. And I will repent. I will change what I'm doing because my allegiance is to you. If my allegiance is to me, then I don't want to do what he says. I want to do what I say. But our allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our hearts should be in the posture of whatever you say, Lord, is what I will do. Amen? That's what we've been learning here in this series, and I'm excited about. We've been following a man in the Bible named Joshua, and I want to go over some of the things we've learned over the last 4 weeks. We've talked about allegiance, and we've seen some things about Joshua and how he has learned to have his allegiance only in the Lord. We've learned that allegiance bows the knee and the heart and the life to Jesus as commander. When Joshua meets the Lord, the commander of the Lord's army, he bows before him. He is on his face before him. And this is where allegiance starts. Lord, you are the commander. You are in charge of all things, and I submit my life to you. This is where real life begins. As believers, this is where we say we are born again, when we choose to make him Lord of our lives. We've also learned that allegiance learns the regimen of Jesus first. We follow Joshua as he circled the city of Jericho 6 times under the Lord's command. And Jesus was teaching him, I believe, the regimen me first at the beginning of the day, me first in all that you do, me first in your plans, and I will direct your path. And God did. He directed them around the walls of Jericho for 6 days, putting the praise of God first, putting the Ark of the Covenant first. And on the seventh day, they circled 7 times, shouted, and the walls fell. And Joshua was learning that the regimen of putting Jesus first is significant for us. It's what we do. In fact, the fact that you are here right now means that you are putting Jesus first. Sunday is not the last day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. So you're choosing on the first day of the week to honor the Lord. You are choosing on the first part of the day of the first part of the week to honor the Lord. We've already chosen by our worship this morning to lift him up before anything else. So we've worshiped in the first part of the day, in the first part of the week. We're honoring the Lord. This is a practice that we do as believers. We're following the regimen. But also allegiance, as we've seen, is knowing that partial obedience is still full defiance. We saw how Achan was a man who kept for himself what God said belonged to him. As they went into Jericho, God said, I want you to give to me all of the treasures that you find and then all the detestable things I want you to burn. And Achan, we saw, kept for himself the treasures and he kept some of the detestable things. And a curse came upon all of Israel because he did not honor God with full obedience. And we learned that that is still defiance. We also learned that allegiance knows that following has a cost. If you're gonna give your allegiance to Jesus Christ, you don't come into this serving the Lord thinking, well, I'll do whatever I like to do. I'll do whatever is comfortable for me. I'll do what is profitable for me. This is part of the danger of the prosperity gospel today because what you're doing is you're buying into a mindset that says, I'll obey as long as it profits me. And that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you're gonna have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and then you can follow me. And this is what it means to have an allegiance to the Lord. It means that even when, to me, it could be costly, to me, it could be difficult, to me, it could require sacrifice, I do it because my allegiance is to him. Now, those are the lessons that we've learned along the way so far. But the thing about learning lessons is they're lessons. It's kind of like when you took driver's ed back in the day. I was in Waxahachie the day and I drove by the place where the driver's ed place used to be. Just a little small hole in the wall place. I drove the streets of where I drove back in 1980, trying to get my driver's license. And I remember the difference between studying the book and taking a written test and getting behind the car and taking the driving test. It's different. You can answer questions on a page about what it takes to stop a car at 50 miles an hour when it's wet on the pavement. It's another thing when you get behind the wheel of a car going 50 miles an hour and you hit your brakes on a wet pavement. You feel it all of a sudden. It's one thing to talk about being in the military. It's quite another when you get on the battle line. It's one thing to be in boot camp. It's another to be out there where the bullets are real and lives are on the line. And in that moment, you put yourself on the line for your brothers and for your commander. Today, we're gonna take the things that we've learned over the past 4 weeks and we're gonna bring them into real life scenarios that the Bible calls us to bring them into, to work out and live out our allegiance. So our message today is called, It's Time to Put It on the Line. Because having faith is not just saying you have faith, it is saying and obeying that faith. Isaiah would say, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Jesus would say, if you love me, keep my commandments. John would write and say, for this is the love of God that we keep his commandments and his commandments are not burdensome. If you're just saying you have faith, but not obeying that faith, then how can you say that you even have faith? If you're gonna say it, then you gotta do it. So today, We're going to talk about putting it all on the line. You can agree with it up to this point, but now we're leaving boot camp and we're getting onto the battle line. Turn your Bibles today to Malachi chapter 3, the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi is a prophet who is speaking on behalf of the Lord, and God is speaking through him to his own people, to his people who at a time had wandered far from him. And the book of Malachi is about a series of conversations that the Lord has with his people. And they're awkward conversations. There are those moments when God approaches his people about some things that they need to be doing. And in the book, you're going to find, if you read through it, even in the passage today, God is going to address them. They're going to say, what are you talking about? Us? Me? Me doing that? Well, I'm offended that you'd even say that. And God is going to have a very awkward conversation with them. He deals with a series of questions, and one of those we're going to look at today. Because what was happening in this day and time is the people of God knew the law. They knew God's commands, that the first fruits belonged to him, that the first part of everything belonged to him. The first part of the week, the first part of the day, the first part of your heart, the first part of all that you had. If you were prospered in what God gave you, then the first part always belonged to the Lord. And what was happening in their day was, is that the people were, instead of bringing the first and the best of their flocks to the Lord, they were bringing their sick, their lame, their weak, and their unwanted offering animals to the Lord. Can you imagine that? You're coming to the temple to bring a sacrifice, which was supposed to be an unblemished animal. Very descriptive, the law is, about what they were to bring. Without spot, without fault, nothing broken on them, but a good sacrifice. Yet here they were saying, okay, well, let's see here. That one's one of my good sheep. That's one of my good bulls. I'm keeping him. That thing is worthless. Come on. And they would bring their weak and their sick and their lame offerings to the Lord. And they thought that was enough. And God is going to have an awkward conversation with them. Men, if you decided it was Valentine's Day coming up, which it is, and you thought, what can I get for my wife? Well, I don't want to use all my money because I want to buy myself a boat. And I want to buy myself a couple of new guns. And I got some things I want to do on my own. You know, I got some leftover money. And I got, you know what? I got some leftover stuff I think I can actually give to her. She hadn't seen it in a long time. I'll dust it off. I'll tape it up. And I'll give it to her. If you did that, gentlemen, there would be an awkward conversation that would follow. Amen? Because if you're not bringing your best to the one you love, how can you say that you even love them? Woo, James, you're getting it this morning. Don't bring your broken and your lame and your weak and your sick to the one you love. And don't bring your broken and your lame and your leftover and your weak to the one who loves you. God had established from the beginning, the first always belongs to him. And you bring that to him as a statement of faith. God, I don't know where the rest is going to come from, but I'm giving you the first. I'm trusting you with it because this is what we do. We honor you with the first of all we have. And so God begins to have a conversation with them about what they were doing. Look in verse 6, for we start today in Malachi 3. And the Lord says this, I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. In other words, I'm not going to consume you or destroy you because I've made promises to you, sons of Jacob and of Abram. I've made promises and a covenant with you, and I will not destroy you. In other words, I love you. I've forgiven you. I've chosen you. I will not leave you. However, verse 7, yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, in what way shall we return? You see, this is where the awkward conversation starts. The Lord is very clear. You have not kept my ways, and I'm calling you to return to me. And the people say, us? We turned away from you? What? What are you even talking about? How would we even return? What? He's like, come on now. Are you that clueless? We don't know for sure whether they were just playing a game or they really were that clueless. But God continues the conversation and he says something very pointed. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? What are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. Robbing me? I would never rob you, God. This is how clueless they were. This is how far they had drifted away from what the Lord had called them to. And the Lord just says, well, okay. You want to play this game? I'll get very specific with you. We'll just keep driving this until you get it. How have you robbed me? Let me tell you. In tithes and offerings. Tithe. The scripture has said from the beginning that the first belongs to the Lord. It's all throughout the scripture. Did you know that actually in the garden, we have the principle of the first belonging to the Lord? Long before the law is given in the garden, what does God do? He creates the garden. He puts Adam and Eve into it. He tells them they can eat from every tree in the garden except for one. And that one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, belonged to the Lord. And they were not to touch it. If they did, it would bring a curse upon them. The first belongs to the Lord. You can take it if you want to, but you'll invite a curse upon your life when you do, because the first always belongs to the Lord. And the Old Testament used the principle of, or the word of, a tithe to help illustrate that. Now, the law would get very specific about that. But even before the law came along, you have a reference in the Old Testament about a mysterious character, Melchizedek, and Abraham giving tithes to him as a king. And we find this then repeated in the law in Leviticus 27:30. It would say, and all the tithe or the tenth or the first part of the land, whether of the seed or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. It belonged to him. The first always belongs to him. The first that was born of a flock belonged to him. The firstborn in a family belong to the Lord, not to be sacrificed, although Jesus was, but the first belong to the Lord, to be set apart for his purposes. So he uses this word tithe. He says, you are no longer bringing the first of all that you have been blessed with. You are keeping it for yourself. And you are dishonoring me, and you are inviting a curse upon yourself. But it also uses the word offering. You see, offerings were given in the Old Covenant as well. Offerings to atone for sin. A lamb, a bull, turtle doves. And they were not bringing the right offerings. They were bringing the sick and the lame and the broken and the diseased. They were bringing the leftovers and the unwanted to the Lord. And he was saying, you are honoring yourself. You are swearing allegiance to yourself, and you are no longer honoring me with the first part and with offerings that I have required. You see, the offerings were to represent the Lord Jesus who would come, who would be without spot, without fault, a lamb sacrificed to atone for sin. And God continues in verse 9 and says, therefore, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You see, what God was trying to do was help them connect the dots between what was happening in life and their disobedience to God. They were experiencing pain and struggle and loss and defeat, and they didn't understand why. And God is saying, you're walking in a curse right now. You're walking in defeat right now because you have chosen to keep for yourself that which belongs to me. The Bible had long described, in fact, Deuteronomy 28 is a chapter of blessings that would come to the people when they would honor him and obey him. God promised that if they would, he would make them the head and not the tail. He would bless whatever they put their hand to. They would not walk in confusion or frustration. He would bless every part of their life. He would bless them in the field. He'd bless them in the house. He'd bless them with their family. He'd bless them in their marriage. He'd bless them wherever they went. When they went in, when they came out, they would be blessed. But if they chose to disobey, if they chose to take what belonged to the Lord and keep it for themselves, then they would experience all kinds of curses upon them. They would experience defeat and loss and frustration and increased disease in the land. There would be drought. There would be military defeat. The heavens would become like brass and there would be no rain. There would be mental and emotional turmoil in the land. Their marriages would fail. Their children would rebel. Their relationships would fail. And Israel was experiencing all of these, but they had lost the ability to see that the reason it was is because they were taking from God. And so God is having this very awkward conversation with them. But then he gives them the answer. He says, here's what you should do, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord. Return to me, bring what is mine to me. And then watch and see what I will do. Watch and see how I will keep my covenant promise with you, if you will be obedient. The second part of verse 10, he says this, see, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. I love this picture here, this idea of the windows of heaven. They understood the windows of heaven because they knew the story of Noah. They knew the story of how God brought a flood upon the earth. And it started when the foundations of the deep were broken up, but also the heavens opened up. And in that day and in that time, the heavens opened up and they began to pour down rain. And Malachi is using that picture because God is telling him, tell the people that if they will return to me, watch and see if I won't just open up the windows of heaven and like fresh rain, see if I will not rain down my grace and goodness and healing and restoration and power in your lives. And not just a little, a lot. So much so that you won't even be able to contain it. In this verse and the verses that follow, for the remainder of our message today, I'm going to show you seven blessings that will come when we have an allegiance to give God the first part and he get what he has declared is his. Amen. If you're taking notes today, feel free to copy what's on the screen. You can use your phone, take a picture of the screen, however you'd like to do this. The first thing we see about allegiance by giving God the first is that he will open windows in heaven that have been shut. You see, what's happening here is that they're experiencing all kind of turmoil in their life. And God says, if you will return to me, if you will honor me, see if I won't open the windows of heaven. You know what that means? That means they are currently closed. You can't open something that's not shut. You can't open something that's not closed. And so God is saying, right now, the windows of heaven are closed over you. In other words, you are not experiencing the fullness of what you could be because the heavens are closed to you. Now, I've asked this almost every week. I'm going to ask again this morning. Were they God's people? Was God turning his back on them? Did he love them? Was there forgiveness for them? Were they following him? Were they experiencing the fullness of the blessings they could have been? No. The same is true for you and I. You can be a follower of Jesus who's put your faith in Jesus, but you can be walking through life not acknowledging him as Lord over all. And when you do, you're going to experience greater pressure, pain, and loss in your life. Does it mean that God doesn't love you? Does it mean that you're missing out on something that he has for you? Yes. God is the one who controls the windows of heaven. It's not random. Life is not random. Life is not by chance. Life is not by luck. There's no such thing, by the way. Life is not by just your own strength. Life is controlled by the sovereign hand of God. And if blessings fall, they came from him. If the heavens open, it's because he opened them. And God is telling his people here, they are closed right now to you. And you should know this by what you're experiencing in your life. The second truth we see today is this, is that when we have allegiance and give him the first, he pours out blessings that are being held in reserve. I love this. You know, prosperity preachers love this also because they use this to scare their people into making them give money by promising them that God will give them more money. Let me tell you, that is not what I'm saying today. There are blessings in heaven that God wants to open the windows of heaven and pour out in your life. They may be money, but I'm going to tell you, most often than not, they are something far greater than that. Are you with me? Let's just make a list of some of those things. They are things like peace. You know, when you obey God and there's this sense of, I did what he asked. That right there, that peace in your heart is more powerful than any $1,000 check that could come in the mail. Amen? Now, I wouldn't mind a $1,000 check coming in the mail. But I won't take a $1,000 check if it's going to bring grievance and pain and loss and difficulty to me. Amen? The blessings of heaven are greater faith, where I trust God more than I did before. When I develop a confidence, he is providing for my needs. When I trust God and I have allegiance to him, then I will have contentment in my life. Contentment that settles my heart, that helps me know, yes, I have just what God has given me, and I will be content in it. There's power in a content heart. Much more power than in a greedy heart that is still envious of the neighbor, right? Also, unforeseen blessings are what come whenever we give our allegiance to the Lord. There are some things that God wants to provide for you that you're not going to experience unless you choose to honor him with the first part. Can you imagine God in heaven holding blessings like, I really want to give this to them, but they just won't trust me. And if they would just trust me, I will show up in ways that they can't even imagine. Miracles that you haven't even experienced yet. Provision in ways that you can't imagine. Peace in your heart like you've never had before. But they only come when you choose to make the Lord of your life. And you demonstrate it by giving him the first. Man, we could fill this up here. Answered prayer. That's another blessing that comes from heaven when you choose to honor him. When you choose to give him the first and you pray and say, God, I've honored you with the first. Will you bless the remainder? And he starts answering and starts providing in ways, and you start developing a prayer list and you start developing an answered prayer list. You can go back to that list and say, I want you to see how God provided for my needs when I trusted him. These are all things that happen. And let me put one more up here. My space in heaven is wearing thin here, but we're going to see this in this passage, I think. You've heard of the term generational wealth. How about generational spiritual health? It's one thing if you can invest and help your children and their children and their children be financially prosperous. That's great. That's wise. But how many of you would say, I'd give anything if I could pass on generational spiritual health to know that my children are gonna love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And their children are gonna love the Lord, their God, with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And they're gonna be mighty in spirit, and they're gonna be used by God, and they're gonna be involved in ministry, and they're gonna change lives, and they're gonna be leaders in the nation. I'll take that over generational material wealth any day. Amen. These are some of the blessings that we're going to see that are in heaven, that are actually held there, and so many more that we could write here if we would be willing to honor him with the first part of everything that we have. Number three, allegiance by giving the first shows up with unlocking experiences of being overwhelmed with joy. You see, there is nothing like hearing God and knowing God has answered a prayer. A prayer you've prayed for a long time. It might be about your health. It might be about your a family member. It might be about provision. But knowing that God has heard your prayer and answered, that unlocks a joy that's bigger than a $10,000 check coming in the mail. In all honesty, I'll take a $10,000 check coming in the mail. Hello? But I'm telling you, to know that God showed up and your children saw it and your family saw it and your neighbor saw it is worth far more. When our kids were young, Heather and I were committed to letting our kids in on life. And so when we ran into financial issues, we'd bring our kids into the room and say, y'all, and this is when there is no Truett yet, and Taylor is one, Brianna's 9 or 8, Holly's 6, Hunter is 5 or 4. Do you think they had the ability to comprehend the weight of everything I was telling them in those moments? No. But there were spiritual lessons being taught in that moment that were powerful. Because we would gather and we would pray and we would tell them exactly what we needed, where we were financially in a situation. And on multiple occasions, we would do that with them. And I'm convinced that God heard our prayer offered in that moment more quickly than when I just prayed that prayer in my own head alone. Because every time we did that, within a matter of days, God would respond and answer that prayer. I mean, powerfully because we were willing to put it out there in the moment and trust him with it. And the result was something worth more than the money that came in that moment. One time we did that, it was because we needed a car. And within a matter of days, someone called, not knowing the full situation, and gifted us a car. The next time we did it, it was because we had outgrown the house we were in. We'd found a house in Ovilla, and we needed to sell the one we were in so we could buy the one in Ovilla because they were ready and we weren't. We gathered our kids, prayed, put a sign in the yard that night. Someone drove by the next morning, 9 o'clock, walked up to the door, knocked on it, said, "I'll take it." The next one was when I was at another church and that church was collapsing. And it didn't matter what I had done in that moment, what anybody else had done, that church was dying. And I was at the point of despair. Called our family together. I can't even pray because I'm so upset. My family prays and they remind me of the promises of God. 2 weeks later, a man calls from First Baptist Ovilla and says, "What would you think about our two churches merging together and making a brand new church?" I'm telling you, whenever you would choose to acknowledge God and give him the first part, he will show up and the joy that will follow will be bigger than any amount of money attached to it. Because now the greater joy is Heather and I can look at our kids and we can see them trusting God in their life. We can see them honoring God in their ways. And that is worth more than any amount of money you could ever offer me. Are you with me? There is unbelievable joy that will pour out of heaven. Did you see where it's already starting to rain right here? Whenever we will give him the first. And I'm convinced this is what he really wants for us. For you and I to experience that kind of joy here. Oh, I know heaven will be filled with joy and I know there'll be reward, but it's his desire for us to experience all of these things even now. And he's promised he will pour. He will open the heavens just as he did in Noah's day with a flood so great. It might not look like dollars and cents, but it will look like peace and faith and all of these treasures and so many more if we will give him the first part. God continues in verse 11 in the passage and he says, "Here's also what I will do. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts." Who controls the fruit of the field? The Lord. Who controls the vine and whether it fails or not? Who controls the heavens and whether or not they will rain down blessings and joy? The Lord. He is the one. Number four, when we show our allegiance by giving the first, it causes God to rebuke the one who devours what you have. God promised he would rebuke it. He would stop it. He would give his word to make those things stop destroying what you have, that you might have for longer than you might thought you were going to have, that you might have greater than what you thought you were going to have. And I'm not just talking about money and finances today. See, there's a devourer and he wants to frustrate you. He wants to fill you with doubt. He wants to knock you off your feet. And in the Old Testament, it showed up in things like drought and storms and disease and the enemy attacking. And God said, if you will honor me and give me the first fruits, I can make drought disappear. I make your enemies be at peace with you. I can make whatever you plant in the ground be prosperous. I can do all of that. And there are some enemies today who want to destroy what you have. There's a devourer and he wants to fill you with doubt and worry and anxiety and stress and a lack of success, and jealousy, and overworking, and depression, and emptiness, and conflict and hopelessness and generational sins and the inability for yourself to not even be able to defeat sin. The enemy, the devourer, wants to do that in you. But when you choose to honor the Lord, then the Lord fights your battles. The Lord will rebuke all those things. You won't find yourself having to fight them because he goes into battle for you in those things when you give him full allegiance. Number five this morning, allegiance by giving him the first brings about fruit where you've had frustration. Can you imagine doing the work of preparing the soil, planting the seed, removing the weeds, watering, protecting, praying, waiting, season in, season out, the vine grows, and all of a sudden, there's no fruit? How frustrating. Tell that you did all of that work and nothing came of it. That's what the enemy wants to do in your life. But when you stop and make the Lord first, he says, I'll go before you. I'll rebuke the devourer, and I will cause your vine to be fruitful. I will cause what you plant to be successful. He will do it because he is the one who controls it. Verse 12, and all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Number six, God promises that he will cause others to have to acknowledge God's blessing in your life. Can you imagine that? Whenever you choose to make him the first, then he pours down the blessing and other people will see what's happening in your life. They will see that you are at peace when everybody else is in calamity. They will see that you have confidence when everyone else is falling apart. They will see that and they won't have any choice but to say, that has to be God at work in their life. He will cause the nations to look back at you and say, wow, God is really God. What a powerful picture here. The Lord says, if you will trust me, cry out to me, I will even take what happens in your life and make you an influence. It will actually cause other people to want to see what's happening here. They will have to recognize that it is only from the Lord. This had always been the promise. When you go back to Deuteronomy 28 again, you find that what God was promising is, I'm gonna take you, Israel, and I will bless you, I will keep you, I will pour out my hand upon you. The purpose was not to make Israel better than everybody else, but to use Israel to say, this is what it looks like for any nation if they will turn to me. And the same is true for you and I. The Lord wants to bless your life so that you can become a light to the world around you, so that people will look at you and say, that has to be God at work in their life. None of it makes any sense. None of it fits any logic. It's all backwards from what everybody else is doing, but it's obvious that God is on them. Which brings us to the last thing today. Number seven, allegiance to God by giving him the first will stir others to want what you have in Jesus. I love what God said to him. He said, you will be a delightful land. That's interesting. You'll be a delightful land. It's a word that means a desired land. You cause everybody else to not only acknowledge that has to be God, but you cause others to say, man, I sure wish I had that. I sure wish I had that kind of peace. I sure wish I had that kind of faith. I sure wish I had that kind of contentment. Man, I sure wish I had that kind of blessing on my life. I wish I had that kind of ability to see God answer my prayer. I wish I had generational spiritual health. And the Lord says, All of that is what I promised. If you will give the first fruits, if you will acknowledge me, if you will give what already belongs to me, if you will have a heart that is in full allegiance to me. It's not because the Lord is shallow, weak, needy. In fact, it's just the opposite. He is full of grace and power and glory. And he's wanting you and I to experience all of it. And if we will believe by faith and obey in faith, then this kind of blessing and so much more will be poured out. The heavens will open on us. Amen. I want that so much for us as a people, to know that kind of blessing, not just monetary, but spiritual blessings. And we're doing what Jesus has promised. He said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. And this is what our call is. Lord, I lift you up in my life. I lift you up by giving you the first part of my week, my day, my thoughts, my emotions, my relationships, my possessions, my talents, my everything, Lord. You own the first, and so I bring it to you. It's interesting to me that God said, return to me. Return, come on back. I believe the Lord's saying that to us today. Maybe this has been an awkward conversation between you and the Lord. I don't know. Maybe he's pointing out some things and saying, if you'll give me the first, I can give you what you've been longing for. If you'll give me the first part of every part, I'll take care of you. Let's pray together. Father, I know you're speaking. I know your word is alive and your spirit is at work right now. I know you're putting your finger on very specific places in each of our lives right now. Lord, I know this is the moment you're having conversations with us. For some of us, it's awkward. But may we be the first to not justify, defend, blame. But may we, with a heart of allegiance, say, Lord, I will give it to you. That thing you've put your finger on, that thing you're talking to me about, the first always belongs to you, Lord, so I'm returning to you. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for making all things new whenever we return. Lord, as we give the first and honor you, would you open the heavens? Would you rain down blessing even today as just a clear picture that you keep your promises and you are good? Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen.